Hello, all of you out there in Radioland. This is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, you know us as kptz.org. The website is more than just a way to listen to today's shows. You can also find the biographies of all our hosts and DJs. You can listen to podcasts of previous shows. And today's show, of course. Much of the original programming on KPTZ is up as podcasts for your listening pleasure, so you don't actually even have to be in Port Townsend, Jefferson County, or Washington State to listen to us. You can listen to us anywhere in the world, thanks to digital reality. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who are those guys who are finally filling some of the potholes around town? I feel like cheering when I see their truck. And now that it's somewhat like spring here, who are those hardy folks out early in the morning volunteering at the Marine Science Center? Who owns all those boat trailers parked all over Boat Haven? And who is behind the busy counter at the San Juan Taqueria, which finally is open for business? This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Jefferson County. We talk with the people who make up the eclectic mix around here. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and teenage beauty queens, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otters, and even the magnificent eagles. Listening to Our Town is a way to meet some of Port Townsend's authentic and even eclectic people, your neighbors, your friends, and particularly the people you don't know yet, but you'd love to meet them. Today, my guest is Don Hoagland, the proprietor of Don's Pharmacy in Port Townsend. Welcome to the show, Don.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Don, are you a local boy? Were you born and bred in Port Townsend?
Yes, I was. I was born in Port Townsend. I've lived here all my life, with the exception of when I went to school, college.
I think your roots go even deeper. Were your parents and grandparents?
Yes, they do. My mom was born in Port Townsend. Her family moved out here in about 1929 because of the advent of the construction of the pulp mill.
Uh-huh.
The Port Townsend Mill, and there were jobs to be had, and they were wheat farmers in North Dakota. Things weren't going so well for them, so they all migrated out here, and her father went to work at the pulp mill. She was born a few years later.
So she was actually born here?
Absolutely, hospital.
What about your dad's side of the family?
My dad, his side of the family moved here in about 1937. My grandfather was a hard rock miner, worked in rock quarries, and he was managing the rock quarry, which was in Bremerton. I don't know how it transpired, but apparently he was offered the job with General Construction to be superintendent of the rock quarry, and they moved here in 1937.
So you were born here and you went to the local schools, grade schools at least.
K through 12, Port Townsend School District, yep.
Well, it's good to have an alum on the show, really.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Don's Pharmacy, I mean, your name is Don, but it wasn't actually named after you, was it?
No, it wasn't. My dad's name was Don as well. He bought the business in about 1961 from the widow of Harry Baker. Harry Baker had been the proprietor of Baker Drug for several years, and he fell on ill health and passed. Subsequently, my dad was offered the opportunity to purchase the store, and he did.
So he was already a pharmacist, I take
Yes,
it.
He was. He had been working for Harry for 5 or 6 years after college.
The original Don's Pharmacy, where was it physically located?
It was in Mount Baker Block, mm-hmm. Which is now presently occupied by the Clothes Horse.
Right.
He bought it in the early 60s, and in about 1966, 67, he was offered a space in what was going to be constructed as the Port Townsend Plaza. And he moved his business down to the Port Townsend Plaza in June of 1967. So we're hitting a milestone this year in that this will be our 50th year of operation in that space.
Well, you know, I've always wondered something about that plaza, which is, why are there no windows on the water side?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, and it's counterintuitive now that we value the water so much. But back then, I don't think it was appreciated as much as it is now. So
Yeah.
That's why.
It's just sort of puzzling. Beautiful view. Yeah. And it's concrete back there, as far as I can tell.
It's to stand back in the back door and look out on the water is kind of meditating when you're working.
That's amazing, really. Yeah. Did the same people own the plaza that did all those years ago, or has that changed hands?
No, it has changed hands about three times in its location there. Sparkman and McLean, I believe they were a real estate developer in the Seattle area, developed it. And Cotton Construction, a local construction firm, was integral in the construction of it. Then in the late 70s, it was purchased by John Pickett. He owned it for several years. There was some interruptions in occupancy at that time with the departure of the Safeway grocery store in the center, and that weakened the traffic flow and that for the center, and he then sold it to William Massey, who is a real estate developer in Oak Harbor, and he does business as Island Property Management, and Bill has owned it since then.
Well, now, you are the second generation Don, taking over Don's Pharmacy, but there's sort of a somewhat tragic transition, and so would you mind telling us what happened?
No, unfortunately, my dad passed in 1977 unexpectedly at the age of 45 due to a heart attack, which was a real tragic death for my family and really, you know, upset us.
Yeah.
At that time, my mom hadn't been actively involved in the business, but she soon became so and took over the management and bookkeeping of the store.
So how old were you at that point
in time? I was 17. Wow. I was entering my senior year in high school.
Wow. Now, had you decided already that you wanted to be a pharmacist?
I had interest in it. I hadn't conclusively decided upon it when I was in my high school years, but I was headed towards it and thinking seriously of it. Then when my dad passed and I began college the next year, I looked at it in a different light with a little bit more interest because of the opportunity that was there and the need to help my mom as well in the management of the business.
Yeah, because she was still a young woman and had kids to support.
Correct. That's right.
Did she consider selling it at that point in time?
At that time, no, because she was still a pretty young lady, and finances were such that she felt the need for adding to her income with the store and keeping it in that regard.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take to get a degree in pharmacy?
5 years at that time. It's now six. Now, currently, graduates are considered doctorates in pharmacy. Mm-hmm. When I went to school, it was a Bachelor of Science in Pharmacy, and it was a five-year program.
Now, very few of your classmates would face the opportunity or challenge of walking into an existing business. Most of them probably went into a big chain as a junior pharmacist or something like that. Were you scared?
Oh, there was a certain level of anxiety associated with that, coming back to the hometown and not really having the practical experience that some have before they operate their own business. So yes, it was a challenge, but I felt I was pretty well prepared academically to do that. And then, of course, the practical experience of learning the profession of pharmacy in the retail setting, you know, happened pretty fast.
Yeah, I guess it would. You have to have a pharmacist in the store. So clearly your mother must have had someone working there while you were in school.
Yes, she had employed a couple of pharmacists. One pharmacist that worked for her, she was acquainted with from years ago, and my dad knew as a pharmacist. And then the other pharmacist applied for the job when there was a vacancy, and he took over management of the pharmacy department for my mom.
Mm-hmm. When you first stepped into the business, was it sort of the same configuration as it is now? There's the pharmacy, there's the store, and there's a soda fountain, so it's really got three legs. Was it like that at the beginning?
It's always had the same basic business model. We've had the front end, the retail end of the operation. We've always had the soda fountain since the inception of the occupancy there. And we had the soda fountain in the old store as well. And then, of course, the pharmacy department. So essentially, the configuration is the same. My dad expanded the operation from the original space in the mid-70s when the state liquor store, which abutted the business, vacated and went down to the Lighthouse Center, where it was for most of those years. And after I had come to the store and was running it, an opportunity arose where the store next to us, which was a clothing store, became vacant, and my landlord offered me the space, and we decided to expand into that space. So we started out with about 5,000 square feet in 1967, and through the two expansions, we're at about 9,000 square feet right now, which just added more to our retail mix.
Okay.
Those expansions.
And do you think that that's a good size, or would you like to expand if another opportunity came up?
I don't see the need for expanding anymore at this point. I think we're meeting the community's needs in the retail end of things quite nicely, as well as the pharmacy and the soda fountain. When I did the expansion in the late 80s, it took a while to grow into it, so to speak, and develop the additional sales. So I don't really, after this many years, have a desire to take on more responsibility in that area. And as I say, I think we're meeting the retail needs of the community as a drugstore goes quite nicely now.
In the retail end of it, how do you decide what to carry? I mean, how do you make the decision, well, we're going to have socks, but we're not going to have shoes or whatever? How do you decide things like that?
Well, I've got an excellent manager that I've worked with for several years now. Her name is Carol Seldahl, and she has retail experience going back, in this market, about 20 years. In fact, she worked for my wife in her business, Olympic Art and Office, for several years, and worked for Swain's in the general merchandise store down there. And then when that closed, I approached her, and she came to work for us. Right now, basically what we do is we've got several vendors that we do business with, and they have extensive product mixes. Mm-hmm. And we just generally keep an eye on the market and do little testing of different lines and see how they go. And if they go, we build on those lines. And socks is a perfect example. We didn't have any type of apparel in the business for a number of years. And then when Swain's left the area, we saw an opportunity to maybe start dabbling in it a little bit.
Yeah, Swain's had quite a vast array of of goods.
Right.
And when they left the area, that would have left an opening for certain things.
There was a void, a definite void there. So we saw that opportunity. We didn't decide to go into seasonal or fashion, so to speak, lines of apparel. We didn't want to get into that. But a lot of the basics that the community needed at that time, we went into. For example, the socks, line of underwear, some outerwear, t-shirts, sweatshirts, that type of thing. And it's done quite well.
Huh.
And it all started from, as I said earlier, the test marketing, just trying small lines, little limited quantities, and seeing how it goes. It's kind of trial and error in how we develop that mix. But, you know, being locally minded and listening to the customers and hearing comments about, gee, you can't get this or you can't get that in Port Townsend, gives us that feedback on a day-to-day basis where we can make, I feel, pretty good decisions about our mix.
But of course, since you have a limited amount of space, you can't cater to all of it. You have to be selective.
We have to be selective and do what works for us and works for the town and the consumers.
I've always been curious about one, I guess you would call it line of goods, and you carry some of them. They're labeled as seen on TV.
Yes.
And there are really odd things in there. You know, how do you decide which of their many things to...
Well, that's a line that is stocked by one of our vendors.
Like houses made of bacon and things like that.
Exactly. Very eclectic type things. And basically, Carol just goes through and looks at those things and tries them. And she's developed that department, and it does quite nicely for us.
Yeah, I must confess, I've purchased a few of these little items myself, and I have mixed reaction to the whole thing.
Yeah.
When you were first running Don's Pharmacy, was it the only pharmacy in town?
No. At that time, there was another pharmacy, and it was called Dave's Drug, and that was in the Uptown Center where QFC is. He ran that store for about 15 years. He actually worked for my dad and my mom. That's what brought him to Port Townsend. Did quite well for us, and I think when he saw the opportunity at the QFC Center, he decided to go out on his own. So we had the two stores. Mm-hmm. And then in about 1988, Safeway, as they were doing at that point, developed a pharmacy in their store. So at that time, we had three drug stores in Port Townsend. I think Dave of Dave's Drugs sold to Safeway and went to work for them in the early 1990s, and okay. We went back to two pharmacies.
Okay. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM on the radio dial or kptz.org if you're online. This show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Mary Ann McNellis. My guest today is Don Hoagland, the proprietor of a Port Townsend classic, Don's Pharmacy. And we were just starting to talk about when Safeway decided to open a pharmacy, and now I guess they're your main competition in town. You know, it's sort of a David and Goliath situation. They're a big gun. You're the local guy. What's it like competing with them?
There's a couple of different aspects of that. From a competitive level, you know, you have to concern yourself, are we buying our merchandise properly and competitively so that we can compete? About 5 years ago, I elected to join a buying group, which was called Northwest Generics. They're a offshoot of the high school pharmacy chain, which operates about 50 drugstores down in the southern Washington, northern Oregon area. And they thought that it would help their business model if they developed that buying group. So essentially, I'm buying as competitive as most chains are now. And in fact, about a year or so ago, Northwest Pharmaceuticals or Northwest Generics align themselves with a bigger buying group that's regional in the West Coast. And now we are anticipating an annual purchase of about $4 billion a year.
Wow.
In pharmaceuticals and sundry items. So you can see that gives us some buying power and
right.
Ability to negotiate better prices with the drug wholesalers that we deal with. The other aspect of the competitive nature is at the service level. And that really is, I think, the hallmark of the independent. We're able to offer friendly, prompt customer service. That's basically our thrust, is the customer service associated
right.
with the goods and services
right.
we provide
well,
them.
But I think this buying consortium that you're involved with is really important, because if I understand it correctly, and I'll use a non-pharmaceutical example, but someone like Costco can strike really good deals with meat suppliers because they're so big, they're able to order so much. So I would imagine in your industry, it's the same sort of thing. A Safeway can negotiate a good deal. One little independent Don's Pharmacy might not be able to, but as a group.
Yes, there's power in numbers, and there's power in the number of members the group has, and there's power in how much we buy. And we're able to go to the negotiating table with the wholesalers, which is our primary source for pharmaceuticals, and strike out deals that I would say are parallel with what the chains are getting. So it keeps us in a competitive nature.
I see. My insurance company has what they call preferred pharmacies. Mm-hmm. Is that typical, and are you able to be a preferred pharmacy?
I have a negotiating entity through our wholesaler that negotiates with the insurance companies, and they have the autonomy of rejecting or accepting contracts that are presented to them on behalf of the accounts that the wholesaler has. And recently there's been a little bit of movement to reject some of the preferred contracts that are purveyed, because the reimbursement levels have gotten to be so low that it's just not economically viable. In a sense, we're standing up to some of the insurance companies in that regard. Preferred status in many cases isn't a demonstrable difference in pricing to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my customers say, you know, Don, I know you're not the preferred pharmacy for my particular insurance company, but I'm going to continue with you because we've been doing it so long and you give such good service, your staff does, that I'm going to stay with you.
Well, service certainly is the hallmark of Don's Pharmacy, that's for sure. Ask anyone around town, yeah. I'll tell you that. I'd like to talk a little bit about the soda fountain, because it is one of the unique aspects of Don's Pharmacy, which is not the pharmacy part, but the soda fountain. Right. So tell me about the concept there.
It's evolved over the years, and it still basically has the same business model. But we had a soda fountain, as I said earlier, in the old drugstore, where the clothes horse was, but it was not quite as large and had a narrower selection of menu items. When we moved to the new location at the plaza in 67, we started developing more menu items, but yet maintained the same basic structure for the business in that we offered the milkshakes and ice cream and soda drinks. And it's just evolved into a very viable component of our business, and it's nice for the customers that come in. They can relax and have something to eat while they're shopping or waiting for a prescription. And people depend on it for a good meal.
Yeah. Well, it always seems to be busy.
Yes. We've got a very good operator. Her name's Gina Landon. And she's been working with us now for about 4 or 5 years and has done a very good job.
What are the soda fountain's basic hours?
Basically, it's 9 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Monday through Saturday, we're open for breakfast and lunch. And we haven't opened on Sundays. We don't see that there's a need for it on Sundays. Basically, very nice breakfasts, nice lunches.
You have lunch food at breakfast time?
Generally speaking, we don't provide that. And it hasn't really come up that people want. But we do a lot of to-go orders. And so there are some lunch items that are prepared for to-go type situations.
So I understand you have quite a few regulars at the soda fountain.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And see, that's what we've developed, is enough variety in our menu. It's broad enough where people can come in 2 or 3 times a week and not get worn out, so to speak, on what we provide. There's always specials and just a nice variety of things where people don't get tired of it.
During the summertime, do you get a lot of tourists in there?
Yes, we do. One of the peak months of the year for the soda fountain is August. We get a lot of people coming in, and word of mouth has traveled. They got to go to Port Townsend and try the soda fountain at Don's Pharmacy. So we have young families come in, people that are camping at Fort Worden. They'll come in the afternoon and have a banana split or milkshakes or a burger, and they just really like it. So we do experience a pretty good upturn in our business in the summer months from tourism.
Mm-hmm. Of the three businesses that you have, which really are the pharmacy, the store, and the soda fountain, what, economically speaking, what's the driving power there?
Well, the driving power of the pharmacy, and I think this is true of the whole industry, is the prescription department.
Mm-hmm.
That really develops a lot of the revenue that we have percentage-wise, and the traffic pattern that comes in. The fountain, it's a much lower percentage of our sales, obviously, but it is very helpful to the operation in that it brings people in, another group of customers that just develops that traffic pattern and that energy for the store. You know, it's interesting, if the soda fountain is ever closed for a maintenance problem or anything like that, the whole store takes on a whole different atmosphere and tenor, so to speak. There's not the hustle bustle, the laughing, the talking, the plates clanking, coffee cups clanking in the operation. So there's kind of a hush over the store. It's very distinct.
Different atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, the cost of medications has skyrocketed in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big issue for everyone, and I won't put you on the spot by asking about that, but mm-hmm. I was wondering, though, in terms of inventory, it must be difficult to stockpile things, or do you just order it? What happens?
Well, we get daily deliveries from our wholesalers, so that's very helpful in developing a good cash flow. And a lot of the customers that are on very expensive medications, we've worked with them, and they understand that calling a refill in, for example, of any refill, but especially on the expensive medications, knowing that we don't stock them, we can get them within a day, and they just adjust accordingly. That helps us with our cash flow quite nicely. The other thing is when we're billing insurance companies now, as opposed to several years ago, we get a much faster turnaround time in our reimbursements because of the electronic aspect of the claims management. It's kind of like submitting a credit card transaction to a credit card company. It's quite quick, and we'll get our payments on prescriptions within 10 to 14 days. So from those aspects, it's not too difficult, but you do have to watch it closely, because if you don't, you can get swamped, so to speak.
Yeah, I think it would.
Yeah.
Now, recently, a brand new drugstore has opened up in Port Townsend. And I'm wondering how do you feel, is there enough business in this town for three drugstores versus two?
Well, I think that we'll soon find out,
right.
But I do think that with a lot of the more drug therapies that we have on the market as opposed to in the past, more prescriptions being filled, more people having insurance now, there probably is. This has always generally been a two-pharmacy town. So we'll see. But I think it'll probably be okay in our market.
Okay. Well, you know, it's hard to believe, but we're almost running out of time now. But I did want to ask you a little bit about you and your life. What do you do when you're not chained to the pharmacy counter?
Well, I try and relax and decompress. But
yes.
I really enjoy being outside because of the nature of my work. I'm inside most of the time, so
right.
It feels like a nice change to be outside. So I garden. I've been known to cut a little firewood once in a while. And I've developed an interest recently with my children and my wife of skiing, so I'm enjoying that. We hike in the summertime in the Olympics and that type of thing, and we're trying to travel a little bit more as well.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, now you mentioned your children. Looking ahead, I mean, you're nowhere near retirement age.
No.
Is there going to be a third generation at Don's Pharmacy?
At this point, it doesn't look like it. I've got three children. My oldest daughter, Chelsea, is in graduate study for physical therapy. My middle daughter, Erica, is going to be graduating from WSU and hospitality and restaurant administration. And my son, David, my youngest, is a freshman at Purdue University in Indiana, and he's pursuing a degree in mechanical engineering at this point.
Yeah.
So it's not likely that the torch will be passed to to one of my children.
But well, you never can tell, right?
No, you can't. Things can change.
Right, exactly. Well, I want to thank you very much for being a guest on the show today.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Really appreciate it. So all of you out there in Radio Land, thank you for listening. The show's called Our Town. I'm Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been the proprietor of Don's Pharmacy, Don himself, Don Hoagland. He is a Port Townsend native, grew up here, lived here all his life, and like everyone in Port Townsend, loves it, right?
That's right.
Okay. Thank you for being a guest. And I also want to thank our engineer, John McPherson, the man in the control booth. He makes me and my guests sound good, cleans up all our messy little stuff. I also want to thank our program director, Larry Stein, and our chairman, Robert Ambrose. Meanwhile, keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.